Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Good morning and welcome to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. I'm Sue Tabb and I am very excited today to be talking with a world-class athlete, record holder, Olympic medalist. Dina Castor is an elite runner who is a staunch believer in the power of mental fitness fueling physical fitness. She has just released a book titled Let Your Mind Run, a memoir of thinking my way to victory. Good morning, Dina.
Good morning, Sue.
You know what? You have an incredible resume, obviously, as an elite runner. You've actually won marathons. And it's funny because my colleagues and I were just looking over your stats before this interview, and you've run a marathon in 2:19, which we just don't even know how that's humanly possible. What's that, a 5.5 minute mile?
Five minutes and 19 seconds.
Oh, my goodness. So is that running full on the whole 26 miles?
I mean, I think running more so than any other sport is so relatable to the general public, the people, all 45,000 people that'll be on the starting line of the Boston Marathon, that the masses can relate to everyone surrounding them, because we're all pushing our limits. We're all trying to find that line of capability and struggle and trying to finesse our way to the finish line of 26.2 miles. So I think more so than anything, like, I could stand on the free throw line of a basketball court and shoot baskets all day long and never really know what it's like to be Kobe Bryant. But in running, we can all relate to one another because we're all, no matter what our paces are, we're all trying to ride that line of being able to reach that finish line as fast as possible.
And you'll be running this year's Boston Marathon. How many times have you run the race?
You know, I've only run the marathon in Boston one other time, but I did run the Olympic trials were there in 2008, and it was a circuited loop around Back Bay so that spectators could really enjoy watching and watching the race unfold and watching the Olympic team get formed. So I was able to run that, and Boston did an amazing job hosting the trials that year. It was a Sunday morning, and then, of course, the marathon itself was on Patriots Day. So it was an exciting weekend in 2008 to be able to make my third Olympic team there in Boston.
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of the Olympics, you won a bronze medal back in, was it 2004 in Athens?
Yes, it seems like ages ago.
I know, right? Time goes. What I love about that is not only that obviously to win a bronze medal is just, it's monumental, but you had shattered what was a 20-year drought in the event for U.S. women. So that must have been an incredible moment for you.
It was an incredible moment. It was my goal all summer long as I was training for that race to earn a medal in the marathon. But I couldn't have done it without the women before me. And it's amazing to me as Boston is coming up, the Boston Marathon is coming up, because so much of our or all of our history in females participating in the marathon have taken root in Boston. We have so many years ago that Bobby Gibb banded the race to be able to prove that women can run. And the next year, Catherine Switzer got a bib number for the race under the name Kay Switzer, so that it wasn't found out that she was a female, and she completed the marathon to those two women paving the way for Joan Benoit Samuelson in 1984 to win the first ever women's marathon. She won gold that year, just won the hearts and minds of Americans, and really inspired people. But all these women return to Boston each year to pay tribute to the race, to run the race. It is just amazing to me that in such a short amount of time, American distance running has come so far. And this year, more than any other year, there is an incredible star-studded field that's going to be towing the line in Boston.
And we've had Catherine Switzer on the show. She's just amazing. And she ran the Boston Marathon just recently. to commemorate, I think, the 50th run, you know, the 50 years since she had run it that first time. And when she told her story, I was amazed at her story and the doors that she opened up for all of you.
Yes, and she still has such a presence to her. It's hard to believe it was 50 years ago because she doesn't even look 50 years old.
I know.
So maybe running has been her fountain of youth. But she shows up at these marathons and continues to inspire and encourage people to push past their limitations and to empower themselves to let their dreams come true, whether it's in running or any other endeavor. So she continues to, so long after, for 50 years running, she's still continuing to inspire so many people.
And I want to talk about your book. So your book's title is Let Your Mind Run. It's a memoir of thinking. It says, Thinking My Way to Victory. You talk about mental fitness and positive psychology as a way to fuel physical fitness. But when I was looking at the book, I thought, this isn't really just for runners. This whole concept of mental fitness fueling you can apply to people other than runners, right?
Absolutely. Taking control of your thoughts and being your own advocate is really a universal concept. But so much of the time we're focused on taking care of our physical bodies, getting the right training program in, the right gym membership, or driven in our careers, and we're not our greatest cheerleaders. And this is a book that shows how to do that. It's a memoir, but I like to think of it more of an instructional memoir. And as I was writing over the past couple of years, I really wanted not for people to read this book and learn more about me, but to read the book and discover more about themselves.
And talk about, I read that the concept sort of came because you had a time in your life where not being positive, having negative thoughts was almost a career ender for you. Take us back to that time for a minute.
Yeah, so I was in college and just ridden with injuries and being frustrated, and it was mostly because for the good part of my upbringing, I was told I was talented in this sport. And I think when you're told you're talented, you subconsciously lose that drive to work hard. And so talent to me was a fixed trait, and it said nothing of my character of being driven and hardworking. So I didn't really understand it. I just thought you line up to a race and the person with the most talent wins. But I started losing a lot, and it became very frustrating. I didn't know what was happening. Was I burning out? Did I use up my potential? And so it was really just gaining an understanding through a couple of conversations with some great mentors and coaches that, wow, I've been doing this for so much of my life, and I really don't know a lot about running. And so I went on this journey to learn more, and it first came with trusting my training program. And once I could trust the training program, the onus was on me to get the best out of that training program. And that came from the mental aspect of training my mind.
And when you say train your mind, are there any specific skills that you do, like meditation or imagery or anything like that, that helps as well?
Yes. I mean, the list is long. It's like 200 pages of it. 200 pages of it. That it's gratitude list and how powerful those are as you continue writing them. Gratitude lists every day. It was visualization. It was positive affirmations. And most of all, it was just paying attention. How the refrain in your mind as you're climbing a hill to say, I hate hills, I hate hills. And then to realize what a struggle you're in and say, like, how can I shift my mantra right now to help me a little bit more, to serve me better? And so I just shifted it to, I'm getting stronger with every climb. I'm getting stronger with every climb. And in that moment, that simple shift of wording, even though it was just a thought, it could be even changing the tone of your thoughts, but that simple shift had me standing up taller, had me feeling more powerful to get up that hill. So the significance on our thoughts and how they resonate physically in our bodies is hugely profound, and that's what I was learning as my career progressed. And so I just paid attention and tried changing my thoughts and my practices.
If you're just waking up and tuning in, you're listening to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. We've been chatting with elite distance runner and marathon winner Dina Castor about her amazing career and about her new book, Let Your Mind Run, a memoir of thinking my way to victory. Let's get back to our conversation. How important is it to surround yourself by people who fuel those positive thoughts, by positive role models and people who are cheerleaders for you? And who have those people been in your life?
Oh, gosh, the positive reinforcement I've gotten has totally been from the people I surround myself with, because that's the information and the feedback you're getting, whether it's from people or books. We all might have some energy suckers in our lives and people that aren't 100% supportive of our dreams and our visions. But if we can surround ourselves mostly with those who lift and inspire and encourage us, that is really the foundation of a great workspace, of a foundation for success, no matter what your endeavor is. So luckily for me, it's been through coaches. It's been through my family. And I think that's what had me stand back and say, like, I have nothing to write here, because I came from a fully supported family. I had no struggle or abuse. I have had amazing relationships in my life, people who inspired and encouraged me. I found the man of my dreams who travels with me and supports me on a daily basis and is a wonderful father helping raise our 7-year-old daughter, Piper. So I just feel very, very fortunate. And then I think, like, it's not really luck. A lot of this is choosing those people to be around. My parents might have taught me that surrounding yourself with good people is important, but to actually go out and do it is another thing. So always being with people who inspire you and who you respect and trust. And that is hugely important.
Yeah, it's funny that you say, you know, the luck thing, because I have to be reminded of that a lot. There's times that I'll say to my husband, oh, I've been lucky in my career. And he's like, no, sometimes your timing might be good and you might luck out, but then you have to make good decisions and you have to bring something to the table. So I love that it's not luck. It's making good decisions and conscious decisions, as you say. I want to talk about your daughter. Do you think that she has any aspirations of running? Has she run with you?
She does run with me sometimes. I never encourage it. I always let it be her idea, because I don't want her to have a negative association with it. So sometimes she'll say that she wants to go run on the treadmill after dinner, but she's in a foul mood, and I'll say, you can't run when you're in a foul mood. You can only run when you're happy.
Right.
This needs to be a joyous adventure. But when she strides out and runs the local turkey trot or jumps on the treadmill or runs at the park with the dogs, it is like the deepest joy to see how natural and how happy she is doing it. So you know, I don't know what her path is. She's only 7, but I try to encourage her with all of her passions. She's in singing classes. She plays the piano, all very mildly, but in Spanish classes. So all these things that I want to be able to, as parents, it's our job to make sure we're supporting these endeavors, and then she'll find a path. But my biggest hope is that whatever she chooses to do, she's doing it with a lot of passion and joy.
And that's what I was going to ask you next, what you hoped she took away from watching you, not in terms of running, but just watching the way that you've conducted your life. And that is to go after what you're passionate about, I would assume.
Absolutely. And even in a day where she'll jump out of the car and run with me for a mile when we're on a training run and my husband is driving next to me and my Mammoth Track Club teammates, she'll jump out and run her heart out. And it's so inspiring to me that right when she, and encouraging that I might be leading by good example, when she immediately just gets social, she wants to have a conversation and she's smiling. And I think that that's emulating how she sees me and my teammates running, is that it's conversational and fun and we're enjoying each other's company. So I might be screwing her up in a million other ways, but I feel like,
oh yeah, we all are.
being positive and happy, I'm doing a good job.
That's true. And I also read that you balance your life sort of by focusing on community and doing some things to give back. Talk about ways that you give back to the community.
Oh, wow. And I mean, to me, this whole journey of our lives is about communication and sharing time with people. When I dedicated the book to my longtime coach, Joe Vigil, who inspired me, and he just showed by example that no matter what we have, whether it's time or money or food or knowledge, the value of it increases immensely the moment it's shared with somebody else. And so to me, that's my whole passion in life is sharing all of these things. You know, what good is having time if we're not sharing it with someone, whether it's over the phone or an interview, or whether it's sitting at the table or sitting across the desk from somebody. Money, what good is it if we're not going to be able to spend it and share it with others? Food, there's nothing better to me to be sitting at the table and sharing a meal with friends and family. And then knowledge, that if we know some truths in running or in life, that what good is it if we keep it in our own heads? Its power comes when we can share some of those truths with other people. So to me, the sharing aspect of it is so important. And the communities we live in, we can feel lucky to live in the communities we live in, or feel like, wow, I've made some really good choices to live here. And to be able to share what we have with the communities we thrive in is hugely important in helping create and inspire the youth within that community. We host in Mammoth Lakes, where I live, some community races, a 4th of July Freedom Mile, a turkey trot, and just trying to have a, we put in a track 6 years ago now, mm-hmm. because across the country we kept seeing that tracks that were at universities and on school campuses were being closed to the public for liability purposes. And so we wanted to build a track that people could run and enjoy recreating on, no matter what time of year, what time of day it was. So just trying to give back in those ways, so people constantly have a way to release and enjoy their surroundings. And so it's been wonderful to be in a community, because the community's been supportive of my husband and I over the years, and we would like to repay that favor tenfold.
That's incredible. If you're just joining us, I'm Sue Tabb, and you're listening to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. Dina Castor is our guest today. She is an Olympic medalist and record holder in the marathon. She is talking with us today about the power of positive thinking and mental fitness driving physical fitness. That's the topic of her new memoir called Let Your Mind Run, a memoir of thinking my way to victory. Let's continue. I saw a quote on your website that kind of struck me. It said, my greatest wish, besides inspiring a child to dream loftily in sports, is to help in the appreciation of the journey, to instill in many the desire for fitness and health because of the vitality it brings. Vitality, of course, is different from victory. Is one more important than the other?
I think vitality is more important than victory, because our victories and our goals, whether it's to run a personal best or just even complete your first 5K, or whether it's just to make it to the next week, those goals are like beacons or carrots that kind of lure us. But how we condition and our habits of thought and the body that we're conditioning in that process is the most important part. And because those are the moments that are building us stronger. So just showing up every day, showing up at the office or showing up with your running shoes on, those are the important steps, because that's the building. That's the building phase. And that, to me, that's more important. To talk about the journey seems so cliche. Mm-hmm. So I try to think about it in those other ways of that beacon and that carrot is never going to be accessible if I'm not getting out there today and helping build that.
Is your book something that you had always wanted to do, something that somebody more recently urged you to do? Was it always in you? Did it come easily when you were writing it?
It's very funny to use the word easy, because some people that pre-read the book, some journalists that pre-read the book, the galleys of it, the unedited galleys, which kills me to send out to educated people, that they're a book that has so many errors in it. But those galleys, I got some feedback from them, and so many people said, wow, that was such an easy read. I read it in 2 days, and I thought, an easy read? Is it really? It was such a hard write. How could that be possible? It was a grueling last year. I'd been writing the book for 3 years with my co-author, Michelle Hamilton. She was a writer for Runner's World for years, and then left there to be able to take on this project with me. And it was really her commitment that kept me dedicated through the harder weeks of writing. There were days where we would lament for hours on an opening paragraph of mm-hmm. a chapter that was already written. So it was a hard process, but I think, again, when you have a great team around you, you feel dedicated to them. And I certainly felt like I owed Michelle my greatest effort because of the effort she was putting in. And we also had a great editor, Kevin Doughton, at Crown Penguin Random House, who really pushed our limits. He really kept our feet to the fire and kept wanting more and more out of us. And there's nothing more satisfying to your spirit than giving your all to something very challenging. And so as this book comes out this week, I couldn't be more proud of putting everything into it to create a good product.
And I love that it's coming out. Here we are. It's Boston Marathon time. You're going to be here running it. You're originally from Boston. Is that right?
I was born in Waltham. My mom was born and raised in Hall or Nantasket Beach. So my summer childhoods were always at the beach there, but I was raised in California.
Okay. So, well, we'll still call you a Boston girl. We want to take ownership of you. And we want to wish you so much luck.
I have so many fond memories of the beach and trip castles and waiting for the ice cream man to come down Beach Avenue so we could cool off in the summer heat. So my childhood memories are definitely from there.
Yeah. And do you have any kind of a different mindset when you approach a marathon now, being older?
I think my thoughts coming into this race, I'm 45 years old and my fastest days are behind me, but to just trust the buildup. I feel like I have an incredible amount of trust in not just the years behind me, but in this time where I was able, I feel grateful and trusting of being able to put in that work every morning. But when I got home, I had my mom hat on or my wife hat on or doing things, writing newsletters for the Mammoth Track Club. So now I have multiple hats during the day. Polishing off this book, of course, was a huge one, getting the final product out there. But just the time that I was able to spend in my running shoes, I felt grateful to have, and I did it with 100% focus. But then the rest of the day had a different part of me and a different focus altogether.
Well, we are already out of time, believe it or not, but I want to remind listeners, the book is called Let Your Mind Run, A Memoir of Thinking My Way to Victory. Dina, thank you so much for sharing so much with us today. I'm sure many of our listeners are looking forward to reading your book, and good luck on the marathon.
Thank you, Sue. I look forward to arriving in Boston soon.
Dina Castor has been in the spotlight today on Exceptional Women, but remember that exceptional women are everywhere. We interview athletes, CEOs, celebrities, and authors, but we also like to talk to teens and coworkers and your neighbors who are quietly making an impact out in their communities. Email us if you know someone who fits the bill. We'd love to hear from you. Meantime, thank you to my producer, Kendra Petroni, and to all of you listening. Tune in again next Sunday at 7:30 for another edition of Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. Have a great day.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.